Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. And in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss a dialogue between the dwellers of paradise and the dwellers of hell. And it's a very interesting conversation that is documented in the glorious Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, before we discuss that, let's first recite Salawat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The beloved Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. My brothers, it's stated in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, fi jannatin yatasa'aloon anil mujrimeen, in gardens asking the wrongdoers. Now, in these verses, a scene of the Day of Judgment is described. This is a dialogue between the dwellers of paradise and the dwellers of hell. It is a conversation between them. And when will this conversation happen? What will the people of paradise ask? What will the people of hell answer? In gardens, asking the wrongdoers. This means that while living in paradise, its dweller will ask questions to the people of hell. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that on the day of judgment, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, other Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, and other angels, followed by the truthful, the siddiqeen, and the martyrs, the shuhada, will all intercede for the sinful Muslims. This will continue until all the people of paradise, the sinful Muslims who were eventually to enter paradise, are already in paradise. And the dwellers of hell, meaning the disbelievers who will stay in hell forever, they remain in hell. Now, the dwellers of paradise, while they will be in paradise, will ask the people of hell, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرُ, meaning, what brought you to hell? In response to this question from the dwellers of paradise, the disbelievers who will be present in hell, they will mention four crimes of theirs. Yes, they will say, we were not among those who pray, and we did not feed the destitute, and we used to think of vulgarity with those with vulgar minds, and we used to deny the day of justice until death came to us. These are four crimes that take a person to hell. We should save ourselves from these four evil and heinous crimes. These are the final moments, when the people of paradise have settled in paradise, and the people of hell, they will settle in hell. And then the people of paradise will ask the people of hell these four questions. And these the reason for them ending up in hell. And they will say, they will mention four reasons what got them into the hellfire. They will say four things. Number one, we were not among those who pray. And number second, we did not feed the destitute. Number three, we used to think of vulgarity with those with vulgar minds. And number four, we used to deny the day of justice until death came to us. These crimes, the first crime of the people of hell is not offering salah. The people of hell will mention the first crime and they will say, we were not amongst those who pray. This shows that not offering salah is a reason for being taken to hell. There is one thing, which is to deny that salah is obligatory. If someone, ma'azallah, denies that salah is obligatory, they become a disbeliever and they get out of the folds of Islam. If Allah forbid they die in this state, they will definitely enter hell and stay there forever. However, the person who believes salah is obligatory but does not pray, it should also, be a lesson, as the people of hell will not say that they did not believe salah was obligatory. Rather, they will say that they did not pray. This shows that offering salah is a sign of being a Muslim, and not offering salah is the way of the disbelievers. It is a pity for those unwise Muslims who believe salah is obligatory but are still lazy in performing it, in praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in a hadith, our master and leader, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has stated, the difference between us and the disbelievers is salah. It is stated in another hadith that whoever abandons salah deliberately, the protection of Allah is certainly withdrawn from him. This means that through the blessings of salah, a person stays safe from the troubles of the world, a bad end at the time of death, failing the test of the grave, and troubles on the day of resurrection. Therefore, the one who leaves salah intentionally does not remain under the protection of Allah. Now, not offering salah is an act of ill fortune. Now, just ponder over this parable of this dialogue that would take place between the people of paradise and the people of hell. And the people of paradise, they will ask the people of hell, how did you end up here? And they will say, it is due to four reasons. One of them, the first one, is that they did not pray. Let's listen to another parable. Once the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed by a mountain. He saw a city there. Allah Almighty had blessed the city with many favors. There were gardens, fruits, and flowers in it. People there had wealth and they had animals. And everyone was living a happy life while being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the people of this city saw the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, they greatly respected him. After 3 years, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam passed by that place again. He was surprised to see that the gardens and houses of the city were ruined. The rivers and springs had dried up. There were no flowers, no fruits or animals or people left even. Seeing such a ruined state of a once prosperous city, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam requested in the court of Allah azza wa jal, "O my Lord, what trouble did the people of the city face? What was the reason for the destruction of their trees, their springs and their buildings? Were they affected by an evil eye? Or did someone perform magic on them? Did an enemy defeat them? Or have they been punished for leaving your obedience?" Upon this request, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, "O Prophet of Allah, this city was not affected by an evil eye. Oh, it's not that they left obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor was it due to a black magic that was performed on them. The real reason for their destruction was that one day a person who did not offer salah passed through this city. He washed his face in the spring. The ill fortune of that water that touched the face of that person was such that their springs dried up, their gardens became desolate, and the city was ruined." Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam then said, "O Isa alayhi salam, you have seen the worldly ill fortune of the person who does not pray. On the day of judgment, hell will be filled with those who do not offer salah." Just imagine the curse and the really you know, misfortune of this person who did not offer salah. He wasn't making wudu, but he just washed his face in that spring that was flowing there. And because the water of that spring touched this person's face, due to his ill fortune, because he never prayed, the entire locality was affected and ruined, and the destruction overtook them. The second thing that the people of Jahannam, they will say, what is the second crime that they committed, due to which they ended up in hell and will remain there forever, is not feeding the needy. Upon the question of the dwellers of paradise, the people of hell will mention their second crime. And it is, وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ, and we did not feed the destitute. We did not feed the destitute. Allahu Akbar. It is known that not taking care of the needy and poor and not giving charity to them is the way of the disbelievers. Unfortunately, now even us Muslims, among us, there are very few people actually who look after the poor and the needy. Even if we cannot end poverty in our society, we can at least reduce the hunger of the poor with a little bit of our money. And not helping the poor and needy was the style of the disbelievers. However, nowadays there are many disbelievers who run welfare societies, but these actions of the disbelievers are only for this world. They will be given the reward for such actions in this world only. They have no share in the hereafter. But for Muslims, alhamdulillah, there is a reward in this world, and the highest blessings of paradise in the hereafter as well. Indeed, those who give charity and donations do so, and they also help the poor. However, this is not the job of only a few people. Rather, it is the responsibility of each and every Muslim to feed the poor, to feed the needy. Every Muslim should make it a habit to give some charity. Even a person who is poor should develop a mindset to give charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feed people. Our deen Islam teaches us sacrifice, selflessness, and sympathy. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, whoever has a desire for something, then gives up his desire and gives preference to someone else over himself, he will be forgiven. Subhanallah, if we reduce our desires to gain paradise and to receive the charity of forgiveness from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we eat a few bites less and spend some money from our income on the poor and needy, then imagine how pleased Allah Almighty will be with us. Because of the blessings of this sacrifice, we will receive many great blessings in the hereafter. May Allah Almighty grant us all the ability to do this. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. The third crime of the people of hell was that they used to have these vulgar thoughts, right? And they said, we used to think of vulgarity with those with vulgar minds. The people of hell, while describing in their third crime, they said this. Sayyidina Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, while explaining the meaning of this verse, he says that the people of hell will say that whenever anyone walked on the earth on the path of misguidance, whenever anyone walked on the path of misguidance, we used to join them. From this, we learn that following the misguided and taking interest in misguided acts and turning away from pious deeds and good work is the way of the disbelievers and an act leading to hell. Unfortunately, the condition of Muslims in this matter is very strange today. As soon as something is launched that wastes our time, takes us away from paradise, brings us closer to hell, and removes us from the true path. With due apologies, a large number of Muslims are at the forefront of adopting it. When the TV was launched, when films and dramas and musics were launched, did these disease not spread in our society like viruses, despite the scholars' prohibition of them? Were those who kept the video players in every home, were they not Muslims? Were those who caused the spread of immodesty by playing non-Muslim channels, immoral scenes on the TV through cable network and in their homes, were they not Muslims? Muslims remained at the forefront of adopting clothing against the Sunnah, the revealing clothes, see-through clothes. Muslims remained at the forefront of cutting their beards, shaving it off, Allah forbid, throwing the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam down the drain. Muslims adopted the trend of moving around with bare heads, our women especially. We made immodesty and indecency a part of our society. And now, social media has completed the remaining damage. Now, what we used to do physically, we are doing it virtually for the whole world to see. The arrival of phones and smart devices has further ruined the society. It has its perks, its benefits, but it's not really used how it was intended to be used. There's so much of good that you can do with it, but we instead choose to do that which is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have all these misguidance, immodesties, and means of staying away from religion and paradise not been adopted by Muslims? This is a time for us to introspect. Furthermore, consider this as well. Who are those who mock those who keep a sunnah beard? You know, we call them names sometimes, ma'azallah. Yes, we criticize people who grow a full-length beard. Who are those who become deserving of hell by mocking the scholars? We do it day and night. We think that, you know, we know better. Who are those who look at the preachers of Quran and Sunnah with a bad eye and start judging them? Who are those who conduct businesses by lying, supporting liars, and pave the way for the sins and the wayward ways of ours? Are Muslims not doing all of this today? If they are, then listen to the answer of the people of hell from the Holy Quran with the ears of heart, for the sake of taking a lesson, and consider whose work is this. It is stated, the fourth reason when they mentioned three reasons as to how they ended up in paradise, and how the people of paradise, when they asked the people of hell, how they ended up in hell and they will remain there forever, the people of hell, they responded that due to four reasons. And three reasons, we already listened to them. What was the fourth reason? They said, we used to deny the day of justice. What they used to do? They used to deny the day of justice. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we used to deny the day of justice. Remember, our guidance is in the Holy Quran. Our guidance is in the blessed hadith. Our ideal role model is the character of our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the followers of the path of the blessed companions radiallahu anhum. We are those who take spiritual benefits from the Ahl Bayt and pious predecessors rahimahumullah ta'ala. Before adopting anything, we must think, will this thing harm our deen? Will this habit, this tradition, or this custom lead me towards misguidance? If we do not do this and instead continue to adopt every glittering thing that crosses our eyes, that crosses our path, meaning the ways of the disbelievers, without thinking, then remember, Following the path of the misguided is not the way of Muslims, but the way of the disbelievers. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to always avoid misguidance and grant us the ability to become true and sincere Muslims. Let's pray together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us sincerity in the path of deen and always safeguard our iman. Ameen bijahi nabiyil amin. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the reason. Now another reason that is mentioned, they said that we used to deny the day of justice. The last reason they mentioned, we used to deny the day of justice until death came to us. From this we learned that the main reason for their disbelief, for their stubbornness and bad action is denying or forgetting the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims and we believe in the day of judgment. Anyone who, Allah forbid, denies the day of judgment will no longer remain a Muslim but would become a disbeliever. Indeed, every Muslim has faith and certainty in the day of judgment, but there is a need to reflect a little on the quality of our certainty. Do we have a firm conviction? Do we have faith in it? While describing the qualities of Muslims, the Holy Quran states, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, and they are certain of the hereafter. And this is in the beginning of the Holy Quran, the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah, fourth verse. Indeed, we have such firm certainty in the day of judgment, but unfortunately, we love the world. Yes, the world, the love of the world has settled in our hearts in such a way that despite having certainty, the feelings that should come from this certainty have decreased. Otherwise, look, we are certain that fire burns. And we have even firmer certainty that the day of judgment will definitely come. Despite this, no one ever puts their hand in the fire, even by mistake. Whereas sins, which can cause severe harm on the day of judgment, are committed intentionally. It is clear that we certainly have belief in the day of judgment. But the love for the world, love for the wealth, greed, and the darkness of sins have dimmed the state of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should arise from this belief. The harm of this is that we become fearless in committing sins. We become bold, we commit sins. And the fear of Allah azza wa jal has decreased in our hearts. Some ignorant people have become so fearless that their attitude, it seems as if they're saying, whatever happens, we'll see. You know, no care attitude. So they live on a day-to-day basis, one day at a time. And if someone invites them to, let's say, for example, for salah, to pray, reminds them of the grave and the hereafter, encourages them to prepare for the grave, motivates them towards the deeds that lead to paradise, or creates a mindset to avoid acts that are leading to hellfire, they say, Maulana, Allah Almighty is very merciful. We will see whatever happens on the day of judgment. May Allah protect us from saying such things, from thinking like this. This is the sentence, or these are the words of extremely ignorant and reckless person. Yes, a responsible person, a person with a sound mind will never say such things. In reality, the place that they say, we'll see, it's not the grave or the hereafter. The place to see is this world. We must see here what we are doing. There's no use to come and find out when we are already in our graves. Right? A wise person, he is he who prepares for the journey before the journey begins. I mean, which bright spark have you seen that he just picks up his bag and goes to the airport without booking the ticket and he wants to catch a flight? So this doesn't make sense. And we'll call such a person a fool An idiot who does that. He's not using his brain. He has lost it. But on the other hand, we can, at the same time, we can say very, very quickly, we are very quick to say that, you know what, let's not worry about all of this. We'll see what happens when we go to the qabr, when we go to the hereafter. It's not very different. They both are the journeys. One is the physical journey of the world, and the other is the spiritual journey of the hereafter. Journey from one world to the other. And it is a journey for which every Muslim prepares, has to prepare, because we believe in the hereafter, we believe on the day of judgment, we believe in the adab of qabr, and our actions must match our words. So, inshallah azza wa jal, we need to prepare before we depart from this world. We need to see to our preps now before it is too late. The Almighty states in the Holy Quran, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Every soul must look at what it has sent forth for tomorrow. The Quranic command is for this world. In this very life, we must see what we are doing for the hereafter, how much preparations are being made by us for the grave, how many pious deeds are we doing on a daily basis, and whether we are able to avoid sins or not. As soon as we leave this world and death occurs, the time for seeing will end, and the time for reward or punishment, depends, will begin. Therefore, whatever we need to see, we need to evaluate, or hold ourselves accountable for regarding our actions, must be done in this worldly life. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. The world is the cultivation for the hereafter. There is no use going into the hereafter and then start cultivating. However, it is a quality of the disbelievers that they do not believe in the day of judgment. We are Muslims. Undoubtedly, we believe in the day of judgment and have certainty in it. We have faith in it, but alas, our character and lifestyle are becoming such as if we are never to die and are to live in this world forever. Although we know that this is not the case at all, we have to die and stay in the grave for thousands of years, then rise on the day of judgment, appear in the court of Allah Almighty, and give an account for our actions. By Allah, if the concept of appearing in the divine court settles in our minds, we would become real, true, pious Muslims. Those who submit ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, in the true sense. Our way of carrying out, you know, carrying on with our lives, our way of walking, talking, standing, living, would completely change. This is because when the concept of the day of judgment is established, the heart becomes soft. Hatred for sins is felt, and an inclination towards pious deeds is received. This is why the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, have advised reflecting on death, the grave, and the hereafter for some time every day. Regarding such reflection, it is stated in a blessed hadith, a moment's reflection and contemplation is better than worshipping all night. It is narrated regarding Sayyidina Ibrahim Taymi, rahimahullah, that one day he imagined he was in hell, bound in chains of fire, eating a poisonous thorny cactus and drinking the pus of the people of hell. After this imagination, he asked himself, tell me, what do you want, meaning as in the punishment of the hell or salvation from it? He asked his nafs. His nafs replied, I want salvation. That is why I want to return to the world and perform such deeds that will lead to my salvation from hell. After this, he imagined he was in paradise. eating its fruits and drinking the beverages of the rivers of paradise. After imagining this, he asked himself, O nafs, what do you desire, paradise or hell? His soul said, I desire paradise. This is why I want to go to the world and perform pious deeds, so that I may receive the beautiful blessings of paradise. After this, he said to himself, O soul, currently you have a respite, meaning you are still in this world, so perform pious deeds and prepare for paradise. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful way of reflection, reflecting upon our actions. It is one of the many ways. Your method may be different. You know, sometimes we do talk to ourselves and we do have these moments of reflection and we think to ourselves and this train of thought. And in these moments, we need to reflect on our actions, on our progress. What progress have we made on our journey to the hereafter? And that should answer the question. And based on the answer that we have received, that will set the momentum for our future endeavors, inshallah. If only we develop the habit of reflecting on the matters of the grave, the hereafter, and the day of resurrection, if only. If not daily, then at least once a week, if we were blessed with visiting the graveyard and were granted the ability to remember our death by looking at the graves, we should make time for it. Go to the cemetery. Go recite Fatiha. Make Isali Sawab for your loved ones, for your friends, family. And while you are there, reflect that one day you are going to end up there just like thousands of them that ended up there before you. One day you are going to be one of them. Yes. And what it would be like, you know, being in the grave, helpless. Once a person came to the court of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and complained about the hardness of his heart. The greatest Prophet ﷺ said, look at the graves and reflect on rising on the day of resurrection. Allahu Akbar. It is clear that going to the graveyard and reflecting on the matter of the hereafter, instead of becoming busy in useless activities here and there, softens the heart and it creates hatred for sins. May Allah Almighty make us act upon the teachings of the Deen and Sharia. Make us followers of the Sunnah and grant us the ability to always imagine our presence in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal safeguard us against those actions that are leading to the hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to always do those actions which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which will take us to paradise instead of us becoming dwellers of hell. Ma'azallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rectify our actions and our intentions, grant us sincerity of actions, and grant us tawfiq to do those actions of the dwellers of paradise. Now, speaking of paradise, let's inshallah azza wa jal learn some aspects regarding paradise. And it is mentioned that paradise, subhanallah, is that place where we all wish to go. We make dua in our salah, after our salah, that oh Allah, grant us paradise. But seldom do we do actions that lead us to paradise. So our words, yes, once on one hand, these our words, our wishes, our hope for paradise. But then on the other hand, our actions, do they match our words? Or do they really present a different picture altogether? That is what we need to do, that is what we need to look at, that are our actions doing justice to our hope and our expectations and our words which we will make in dua. Wallah, grant us paradise the house of peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our actions correspond to our du'as and our hopes of being in paradise. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil amin. Dear brothers, we have a wonderful kalam, and together with that we have a nasiha as well of Madani Pearls. So inshallah azza wa jalla, listen to the kalam and nasiha, and thereafter we shall be back and continue to the conclusion of our today's episode. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, mere aqa, hashr mein khud ko jo dekhunga bikhar jaunga apne ghar na sambhala to idhar ja
utar jaunga. सर आपकी दहलीज के लायक तो नहीं, मेरा सर आपकी बन कर तेरे कदमों में बिखर जाऊंगा, खाक बन कर तेरे कदमों में बिखर इससे बढ़कर नहीं एज़ाज कोई और ज़िया, इससे बढ़कर नहीं एज़ाज कोई और ज़िया, कोई लोग तेरा ही कहेंगे मैं जिधर जाऊंगा, लोग तेरा ही कहेंगे मैं जिधर जाऊंगा, हश्र में खुद को जो देखूंगा बिखर जाऊंगा, अपने घर ना संभाला तो इधर जाऊंगा।
On page 75 to 77 of the book Tauba ki Riwayat o Hikayat, this book is in Urdu language and published by Maktabatul Madina, Publishing Department of Dawat-e-Islam. In this book, it is stated, during his speech in an ijtima, Sayyiduna Salih Murri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, once asked a young man sitting before him to recite any ayah. So he recited the 18th ayah of Surah Al-Mu'min. وَأَنْذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْآزِفَةِ إِذِ الْقُلُوبُ لَدَى الْحَنَاجِرِ كَاظِمِينَ مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعُ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And frighten them of the day of upcoming calamity, when hearts will rise up to the throats filled with grief, and the disbelievers will have neither any friend nor any intercessor whose words shall be obeyed. Listening to this ayah of the Quran, Sayyidina Salih Murri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh said, how can an oppressor find any friend or ally? For Allah Almighty will seize him. You will certainly see the transgressing sinners being dragged to hell in chains. They will be naked, their faces will be black, their bodies will be burdened, and their eyes will be blue out of fear. They will be screaming in terror, we are doomed, we are destroyed. Why are we chained? Where are we being taken? Why is this being done to us? Angels will drive them by striking them with whips of fire. They will sometimes fall on their faces and sometimes be dragged. When their tears come to an end, after weeping excessively, they will shed tears of blood with trembling hearts. They will be baffled and concerned. If anyone was to see them, they would not be able to fix their gaze on them, nor would they be able to bear it. And the one who witnesses this terrifying scene will shudder. Allahu Akbar. After saying this, Sayyiduna Salih Murri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wept and said with a deep sigh, "Alas, what a heart trembling scene it will be." He then wept again, and seeing him weeping, the attendees also started crying and weep. Then a young man stood up and said, "O my master, will all of this occur on the day of judgment?" He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, "Yes, and this scene will not transpire for a long time, for their voices will not be heard once they are thrown into hell." Hearing this, the young man let out a scream and said, "Alas, I have spent my life in heedlessness. Alas, I continued to sin. Alas, I displayed laziness in my obedience to Allah Almighty. Ah, I have wasted my life." Saying this, he began to weep. After a while, he made dua to Allah Almighty in these words, "O my Creator, this sinner is present in your court to repent. I have no concern with anyone except you. Forgive my sins and accept me. Shower your grace and mercy upon all those present, including me. O the most merciful, I have placed my sins before you, and I am present in your court with a sincere heart. If you do not accept me, I will certainly be doomed." After the young man said this, he fell down unconscious. He remained bedridden for a couple of days and then passed away. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, countless people attended his funeral and tearful du'as were made for him. Sayyidina Salih Murri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would often mention him in his speech, in his bayan. One day, someone had a dream in which they saw the same young man. So they asked, "Ma fa'alallahu bika?" That is, how did Allah Almighty treat you? He replied, "I reaped blessings from the gathering of Sayyidina Salih Murri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and was made to enter paradise." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, did you see the barakah and blessings of the company of Awliya Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A young man who got opportunity to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that got accepted. When he departed this mortal world, he met salvation. He got succeeded, and someone when saw in dream, Allahu Akbar, it was revealed that he was successful. And he mentioned that I got blessings from the gathering of Sayyidina Salih Murri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he was made to enter paradise. He got Jannah and abode. Everyone wishes for, every believer wishes for. Alhamdulillah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Subhanallah. Welcome back, dear viewers. We were listening to such a wonderful kalam, and together with that, we listened to the nasiha of Muballigh of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah. And now we are moving towards the conclusion of our today's episode and program, and it was regarding a dialogue that would take place between the dwellers of paradise and the dwellers of hell, which is documented in the glorious Quran. And now, when it comes to paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adorned it for the people who will abide therein forever. If any object from paradise, the size of a fingernail, is revealed in this world, all the lands and seas would become adorned by it. This is how beautiful, this is the beauty of paradise. if a heavenly bracelet was to be displayed, it would dim and outshine the light of the sun. Allahu Akbar. Just like the sun outshines the light of the moon and the stars. A space small enough to lay down a whip in paradise is better than this entire world and all its contents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of paradise for the sake of the beloved Habib, shafaat of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant us the neighborhood of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.